barreling into the weekend with all the confidence of someone who eats pineapple on their pizza. This is a brand new Village Vice. He is Zach Blackerby. I am noted anti-cruster Brad Law, and we're glad that you're watching. Thanks so much. Another big game for Auburn basketball this weekend. Zach, another opponent's going to come in here and try to be, you know, they're going to try to sling those stones like David at Auburn's Goliath.
Yes, no question. Another team where they're saying, hey, if we can get a win over the number one team in the country, it would mean so much for our tournament resume. So Georgia felt like they were close. They felt cheated when Auburn went to Athens earlier this year. The game that wouldn't end. That's what I keep referring to it as. The game that would not end. But, of course, that game was without Jani Broome. So I got a feeling. I got a feeling it's going to have a much different tune to it tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the hope, and it should. That's reasonable to expect. It's reasonable to think that the National Player of the Year not being with your team is going to have some effect the first time you play a rival, you know, on the road. That was at a time when Georgia was sky high, when everybody was talking about the game day environment in Athens and the possibilities for this team. So, like, they were at their peak when Auburn went in and won the game. And they were like, it was a 2-point game, Zach, but it was a 2-point game because of some really funky things in the last 20 seconds or so of the game. So if you take away funky things happening late, sure, and you add Jani Broome, I feel like Auburn should take care of business here.
Yeah, that was also in a stretch where Auburn was still kind of struggling on the road, surviving on the road. Like, that was right after South Carolina and Texas. Is that right?
And both it was those... it was right after the Mississippi State game.
Okay. Yeah, Mississippi State was another one. So, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a situation where, like, all right, let's just try to collect these road wins. And, you know, you kind of expected Auburn to eventually drop one. And I guess that hasn't really been the case yet. To me, it's just everything about this game is different. I think last time it screamed trap game because it's a road game on the SEC. You just had that, you know, like you said, the excellent game against Mississippi State where Auburn was without Jani Broome. And they kind of put an exclamation mark and said, hey, we're more than just Jani. Jani is the best player in college basketball, but we can beat good teams without him. And then you go on the road. Like, I think there was a lot to look at with say, hey, this could be tricky. This could be tricky for the Tigers. Tomorrow, I mean, I've been wrong before, been wrong a lot about this team, but I don't know. Tomorrow just doesn't feel like that. Tomorrow doesn't feel like this is a tricky game for Auburn.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'll give you another difference in this game. Not only is the National Player of the Year being available, that's a huge, like...
Yeah, we're just kind of saying it, but like, that is a major difference.
It's a massive deal.
Sure.
Well, there's one player different. Who is it? Best player in college basketball. But in addition to him...
Is that the game where Dylan got hurt too? Was that Georgia?
May have been late. Yeah, he may have been hurt late in the game. Last 5 or 6 minutes, I think. Been a lot of games between now and then.
Yes, you're right.
But, you know, Denver Jones is playing differently now. He's looking to score more. And last time, he wasn't quite in that mode yet. He was still capable, but he wasn't actively looking for his shot as much. Mm-hmm. And Georgia extended its defense on the perimeter, and they held Auburn to, like, under 40% shooting in the game in Athens. I think what Denver's doing offensively right now and the continued maturation of Pettiford as he's gone throughout this year, it's just a different identity of the team than it was in Athens.
You know, I'm seeing a lot of people, I asked the question on social, we're seeing it at the bar and message board. I mean, we're seeing it in a bunch of different places and even just unsolicited tweets and stuff on X. A lot of people calling for a big game for Tahad tomorrow. And I'm not going to push back against that. I mean, he did not have a good game earlier this week. And so I think a bounce back opportunity for him, I think that'd be a good opportunity.
Think about what that means about his reputation. Think about how we're not through his freshman year yet. Like, Mustafa Heron was a great freshman.
Sure.
But we don't put him in the same class as Tahad. And I love Mustafa. Some of the, like, Bryce and Jared and those guys' freshman years, very different level than the way we're talking about Tahad Pettiford. And we're saying a bad game, better look out. Or a subpar or an average game, better look out.
Second best Auburn freshman of the Bruce Pearl era?
Probably.
To Jabari?
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, Jabari's easily won, but I think you can absolutely make that case for Tahad. The other guys, I mean, like other guys who came in as freshmen, like Austin Wiley was a terrific freshman. But I'd probably put Tahad's season.
Yeah, Okoro.
Okoro was a great season now. That's the team that was robbed of postseason play.
Yeah, and I mean, recency bias plays into this, but like I think some of this is style of play too. Like Tahad is more exciting of a player than Isaac Okoro is. Doesn't mean he's better.
Okay.
But I
we could I think we could have that conversation, but I don't it's not necessary to have it. You know, it's not a gonna die on the hill, but I think you could have the conversation anyway.
Yeah, sure. Second or third best freshman of the Bruce Pearl era. I think that's fine to say.
I think so. I absolutely think so. What did he do last game? Tahad last game.
It's four points, right? Yeah.
4 points, which was his season low.
And he was 1 of 4 from the floor, right?
Other than the opener. I mean, he went 0 for 4 in the opener, but I don't really count that. Yeah, he was 1 for 4 from the field, all from 3. And against Alabama, he was 1 of 5 from 3. Boy, it felt like he made more than that. It felt like that that one.
He only made 1 3 against Bama?
He only made 1 3 against Alabama.
What a one to make. Holy cow.
No kidding.
That would just felt like the magnitude of that shot against Bama. It's crazy.
I didn't realize. I assumed that he hit 3 or 4 just because of how big
it
that one was.
It felt like it. Yeah, it felt like he was automatic. That's crazy. Yeah.
But he got to the rim, and that's what Arkansas kept him from doing. Arkansas's big physical guards kept him from driving. He was 4 of 5 inside 3 against Alabama, and he's so good getting to the rim. So that's going to be one of, like, if he has a big day, Auburn wins this thing by 20 or more because it means Georgia's guards can't stop Auburn's guards from getting to the basket.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's an aspect of this matchup that I like Georgia in. Yeah. So, I mean, once again, like, some games have been way closer than, you know, what was predicted and all of that. But I don't know. We sometimes it's almost easy to, like, write up a narrative where it's like, oh, this could be tricky for the best team in college basketball, but I'm having a hard time coming up with one for tomorrow.
I do think, and we said this on yesterday's show, this is the, and Georgia didn't play a midweek game. So I was wrong about that. They didn't play a midweek game, which means from last Saturday afternoon all the way through the time this game tips off, their only focus has been to try to slay the giant. So
maybe that's the narrative. That's the narrative.
Like, you know? If you tell me it turns out to be a game like Arkansas, that's a 7 or 8 point game, it's not totally unbelievable. But Janai being back, playing at home, not turning it over. They turned it over 11 times in that game too, which is more than their season average.
Sure.
It looked like the Arkansas game, but it was in Athens and they didn't have Janai. So I just can't reasonably expect that they would play close to that again this time.
Yeah, I got you. Hey, today's show brought to you by our friends at Roback, ROBACK.com. Use promo code VICE20 to get 20% off your order. I'm wearing one of the hoodies. I regularly wear the quarter zips and the collar shirts. Brad wore a collar shirt on the show yesterday. We love Roback, and I am so confident. We are so confident that you will, too. Head over to Roback.com. Also, check out their game day section. A lot of Auburn-specific Roback swag as well. Use promo code VICE20 to get 20% off your order.
You know, if they were to use the winged eagle or the flying eagle through the A logo on some of their stuff, you know what you'd call it?
What?
Call it a Roback throwback. That's what you'd call it. My son came up with that. He wanted me to use it on the show. So shout out to Bo.
Is he feeling better?
He is. Yeah, he's feeling better.
Did he fake the sickness yesterday?
I don't think so.
Okay.
He was real. I mean, early in the day, he was down. He was down, but he made a comeback. He rallied. So
good.
His idea is Roback throwback. Hey, I'm going to have my Roback performance. It's called a performance hoodie, right? So
correct.
They've got the War Eagle Run Fest Sunday, and it's going to be chilly. Ooh. And so I'm going to run the 5K in my Roback performance hoodie, and we'll see.
Are you going to live stream that?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Let me know if that changes. I'll tune in.
Are you interested in, or would people be interested in a live stream of
I think people are interested in anything Brad Law. Should I wait at the finish line? Is that the one that finishes at the 50?
Yeah. Yeah. Finishes inside Jordan Hare.
I wonder if I could, like, as soon as you're done and you're mm-hmm. exhausted, we do a Village Vice. I think people would love that.
Sure. Why not? Can we tap into the speaker system? We'll do it live for them in the stadium. Because people come sit in the stands and they wait on their friends and family and stuff to finish.
Man,
so cheer them on.
I'm sure a few people would like that, but mm-hmm. most people would be like, this is so annoying.
They'd be
Why
really
are they talking so loud?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be confusing, but
for sure. Wouldn't make a whole lot of sense.
Oh, well. Wouldn't be the first time.
We don't make a whole lot of sense. No. So there we go.
By the way, I was all over it with the crust conversation yesterday. Tons
you weren't
of people,
all over it.
Tons of people in the comments said the same thing.
No, they didn't. I went and looked. Not one person agreed with you.
That's not true. They feed their crust to the dog. They don't touch they leave the crust behind. They never
You're moving the goalposts, Brad. The argument wasn't that like everyone should like crust. The argument that you made was that crust wasn't part of the piece of pizza, which is absurd. Because you know what the bread or like, you know what the sauce and the cheese are sitting on? Crust.
Okay.
The same thing. It's all one piece of bread.
Yeah. But it's different. They treat it different. They treat it different.
Don't say they. You treat it different.
No, the people who make it, they, the creators of the pizza, make the crust different than the rest of the dough.
What do you mean? They treat it different.
Crimp it up. Somebody asked a great question, and this was a perfect. They said, what about a square cut pizza? To which I would say, if it has no crust, then I eat the whole thing. I eat 100% of it.
Mm-hmm.
I leave the crust around the crust around the circle that gets left, but the pieces that are cut square, like my favorite pizza place is a square cut pizza place, and you know that's never an issue.
Your favorite pizza place is a square cut pizza place.
Yeah,
is it local?
Right. It's in Birmingham.
What is it called?
It's called Davenport's.
Is it like a personal square pizza, or is it a big square pizza?
It's a big one.
So pizza people get upset about this because it doesn't cook evenly. Do you think that's true? If it's a square pizza?
It's not a square pizza. It's cut in squares. It's a round pizza. So there are some real tiny triangles around the like around the exterior, but it's a regular circle pizza. It's just cut in squares. This isn't hard.
What?
I don't understand.
What?
Yeah.
Davenport's?
Yeah. Pizza Palace. Near the zoo and botanical gardens.
Oh, I see. Okay. 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 I got it.
We've blown Zach's mind with the idea of a circle pizza cut in squares.
It's back. I've seen that before. I don't know why. The way that was described to me, and I think you described it perfectly, I just didn't register it. I saw a picture with the Davenport's Pizza Palace. It's up their banner picture on their homepage. Makes total sense. Got it.
You're a visual learner then. We just got to show you a picture and you're fine.
Sometimes I feel like I'm not a learner at all.
Okay.
But I needed to see that to fully grasp it. Okay. Thank you for your patience.
Sure. Anything. Anytime.
I mean, normal thin crust pizza is like that. I don't know why I had a hard time grasping what that was. So
right, that's a good point. You know what? That's my fault, Zach. I'm sorry. I should have just said.
No.
Think of that thin crust pizza. That is not your fault.
Okay. Six pack. Go.
Six pack time, which is, you know, six pack of.
Real quick. I pulled up yesterday's comments to see, and no one's agreeing with you. Some people are saying they don't like the crust, but nobody's saying that the crust isn't part of the pizza.
I thought there were two different questions that were on the table.
No, I don't care if you like crust or not. I do not care. But you said that the crust was in the pizza weren't the same thing, that there were two separate things. You said that.
One's a breadstick, one is pizza. One's just a breadstick on the end
They're
of a
connected.
Pizza.
They're
connected. Yeah, so what?
They're connected. That's
the
like saying
peel?
The little like leafy green things on the top of a strawberry aren't part of the strawberry.
Do you
That's
eat
ridiculous.
A banana peel? You eat a banana peel?
No, I don't.
You eat an orange peel?
No.
Okay. All right, then.
Not the same thing?
Hey, Your Honor.
Not the same. But I love that everybody's saying, like, oh, love the conversation, sandwich combo, pizza combo. And then there's a few people that are like, Brad, your baseball calls were great this weekend. Yeah. Like, I love that. Just break up in there.
Yeah. ESPN hates Auburn. We love baseball on the radio, and Publix is the best sandwich. Like, yeah. It's such.
It's like if you went straight to the comment section and didn't watch yesterday's video, you'd be like, what am I about to click on?
Yeah.
It's chaos.
I love it. That's a new thing. Read the comments first and then decide whether to watch the video. What if you started a YouTube trend? Not with our show. Watch the video first and then comment. But, you know, somebody else.
Six pack time. Let's go.
Take a chance. Let's start with some SEC basketball this weekend, Zach. Tennessee at Texas A&M.
Ooh, man.
Top 10 matchup in College Station.
Yeah. Don't you feel like both of these teams are trying to prove something? That yeah. They've, like, dropped a little bit. And I think the narrative about this is totally different if Texas A&M doesn't, you know what, on themselves earlier in the week. I think there's more pressure on A&M at yeah. this point because
think so?
I think so because I think a lot of people are saying like, should you have been ranked that high? And I think Tennessee is better. Mm-hmm. I'm taking the Vols in this okay. one.
Taking the Vols on the road.
Yes.
Tennessee is 8-5 in the league. A&M is 9-4. So a Tennessee win would bring them into a tie in the standings.
Right.
Better for Auburn if Tennessee wins.
Sure.
But I can't get past.
Well, what's the logic there? Why is it better for Auburn?
It's another team further away from Auburn in the standings. Like, I don't think A&M's a threat to catch Auburn, but
that's kind of my thing. It's like, does it matter?
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's on the fringe of mattering.
I guess mathematically, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, one step closer. I'm still a believer in A&M at home. Being able to win. I don't know what this game is going to be. 49-48. I mean,
gosh, it's going to be ugly. I can't wait to watch it. I can't wait to watch it.
Ice packs and heating pads for everybody.
No kidding. No kidding. Might be a 4-hour game with all the fouls.
Oh, that's a great point. That's a good point. I don't know who the officials are in that game, but that's brutal. You know what's interesting? Bruce last night on Tiger Talk was asked a question about, do you think college basketball will ever go to four quarters? Because the women's game has, high school does, yeah. NBA, everybody else does.
Everybody but men's college basketball. Yeah.
His answer was interesting. He said, you know, the reason they haven't gone to it yet is because they find that the four-quarter game tends to not fit in the two-hour TV window. At what point my brain began to ooze out of my ears, because I don't know that I've watched a game this year in college basketball that has fit into a two-hour window.
I don't think I have. And, I mean, I used to do the – when I was working at ESPN 106.7, you know, we did the post-game thing, and we would always schedule it in our, you know, automation, you know, the radio programming software that they used. We'd always schedule it exactly 2 hours after the start of the game, and we were usually within 5 minutes. And then one year we started doing it like 2 hours and 5 minutes after, and we usually nailed it. And now it's like, it's
2:15.
Pretty much right at 2.5.
Yeah.
2:15, 2:20.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. I thought that was interesting that it's probably coming, but they're going to figure out some way to try to make it fit better into a 2-hour window. I don't know. I don't know. We can talk about fixes for that some other time.
Okay.
What about Missouri at Arkansas?
You picked A&M at home?
Yeah, I'm taking A&M at home.
Okay.
Missouri at Arkansas. Missouri's 9-4. Arkansas's 4-9. This should be a layup, no pun intended. But, like, Arkansas's guards are big and physical. Missouri's guards are big and physical. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of similarities between these teams. What do you think? Is there any chance Arkansas pulls the upset?
I do think there's a chance. I'm picking Missouri, but I think the argument for Arkansas is kind of the same one Arkansas was hoping would be the case for Auburn, almost was. Like, I mean, Missouri is feeling really good about itself right now, and they should. Yeah. They absolutely should. They're one of the hotter teams in the conference. But I mean, how many times do we say that? And then a team that's like really fighting for a tournament berth.
Yeah.
That, you know, they pull it all out. So, I mean, I think it's going to matter more for Arkansas. So does Arkansas have a chance? Yes, but I am going to pick Missouri.
I think I am too, but this is the one that would surprise me least if Arkansas won. I'll give you the Pettiford logic on Avisic. I don't think he goes 0-for-1,000 like he did at Auburn the other night from three. I mean, I just think he has a much better shooting game. And so I think it's cool. I think that'll be a really entertaining game.
I agree.
How about Kentucky at Alabama? Alabama won a rup earlier this year. They're desperate now. They've got to rebound. They have to come back with a win, but Kentucky's playing pretty well.
Yeah, it's a bad game to be a whiteboard in, for sure. I'll go with Alabama winning this one.
Can I not make a pick? No, I've got to make a pick, don't I?
Hey, no one's forcing you. No one's forcing you to make this pick.
The struggles Alabama has had defensively, and I know Kentucky's not a great defensive team, but Kentucky's beat three of the last. Actually, you know what? Kentucky has been better defensively of late. 57, 64, and 61 in three of their last four games, and they've won those three.
Sure.
Gave up 82 at Texas in a loss, but
this is a race to 95, right? Who scores 95 to 100 points first?
Yeah, and can Alabama like keep Kentucky from scoring 10 before they get on the board? I think that may be the difference. I think Alabama probably gets out to a quick start in this game to reverse the trend, and they hang on to win a game they just desperately, desperately need.
Sure.
Okay. One other from the SEC, I think.
It's a good weekend.
It's a very good week. Yeah, for sure. This is just for me. This is just for me. Okay. I'm not going to pick Iowa State Houston, which is a top 10 matchup in the Big 12. But just to stay on brand here, tonight, the top two teams in the Big 10 square off in Ann Arbor. Michigan State and Michigan. It's a top 15 matchup. Spartans 14th, Wolverines 12th. Dusty May doing a great job. Who you like? Spartans, Wolverines.
I've only watched Michigan this year for Trey. I don't think I've seen any Michigan State. So I'll go Michigan. It's at home. On paper, they seem to be a better team. So I'll go with Michigan. But that is not an educated pick at all.
They're about a 2.5-point favorite. Trey, by the way, almost 13 points, 3.5 rebounds, 4 assists.
Good for him. That's awesome.
Having a great year. Yeah. And shooting 40% from three. So give me Trey Donaldson and the Wolverines in this game and maybe big at Chrysler Center tonight. All right, Auburn, Georgia. Fifth game in our six-pack. Auburn hosting Georgia. What do we like, and what do we like the score range to be, Zach?
I think it's double digits.
Mm-hmm.
85-72, something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am. I could see it, you know, because it's still Mike White, and he's going to try to slow things down and junk it up a little bit, especially around a perimeter. He's going to try to get Auburn to shoot with 10 seconds or less on the shot clock.
Yeah,
I could see a 79-63. Maybe even a 79-69 type of game. And I respect Georgia. I respect the job Mike White has done. I respect the rivalry.
Yeah.
And they've had a week to prepare. But Jahni being back is a major, major difference in the game. Fox Sports put out a poll on X that just asked fans who should be the National Player of the Year. The overwhelming number of responses were for Jahni, which surprised me a little bit.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
I agree.
The country knows.
I agree with the overwhelming amount of people there.
Give him the dang award is the slogan. So last in the six pack is baseball. Baseball, Auburn against Wright State. Do they get one? Do they get two? Do they get three? Do they get none this weekend against Wright State?
First off, Wright is not a state. I think it's important to really just get out in front of.
You're not wrong.
Nope. I'm not wrong there. I'll say Auburn wins two this weekend.
Which I think is fine. I look at, and I said this on the Barn Baseball Show, which you can watch right now on this same channel. It could be your very next watch, by the way, if you haven't seen it yet. I don't look at series like you got a sweep to win. Like a series win is 2-1. So give me a series win. I think Auburn wins the series. I don't know whether it's two or three, because we don't know who's starting yet on Saturday, and Wright State's the preseason pick to win the Horizon League, but I like a series win for Auburn this weekend. That bullpen's been amazing.
Yeah, the relievers are like 4-0 or whatever to start the season, which means they aren't necessarily being handed like a great situation when they come in, but they have they're making the most of it. So that's all you can ask for.
The relievers have all the wins. It also means these games aren't very far. Like, you're also not in a big deficit when you're coming into the game, which is a little bit of it's different from last year in conference play anyway, so far.
Yeah. I mean, it's a new team, a lot of new faces. It's going to take time. And even with established teams, it takes, you know, Butch Thompson kind of, I don't mean this in a bad way, but like takes his time, like making sure he feels good about the lineup, trying different things and the lineup and the rotation, moving guys around. So this isn't unusual. But I was a little surprised they dropped one last weekend.
Yeah, maybe that's, I mean, it's a regional caliber team.
Sure.
You know, you figuring it out. I'll be interested to see how much better they look if they look better this weekend. So
yeah, all right, for sure.
So check those games out at Plainsman Park or on your phone or on the radio or however you take it in. So that'll be great. Cool.
Awesome. I think that does it for today's show.
It does. Thanks everybody for watching. Subscribe to the channel, almost at 7,000. So appreciate that very, very much, guys. And remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.